Sports.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling. Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore. OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzles, I got jelly for shit.
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Our phone lines are open. It's 267-297-1397. You can call in at any time if you're a part of Skype, which is now possibly being owned by Microsoft. Hi, Bill Gates, if you're listening. We love you. Send us free stuff. You can Skype Sir Rockin, and he will get you on the call with us. We will be talking everything about WWE, we'll talk TNA, we'll talk tons of indies later on in the evening. But we are going to open our show with a very special guest who is going to be a part of Wrestling Action. It's going to be returning to the former asylum that was run by TNA Wrestling for from 2002 to 2004. But if you've never been to the Tennessee State Fairgrounds, you don't know that this facility has a ton of history, and they're going to be doing a tribute to the Fairgrounds 2. It is a tag team warfare theme this Saturday night at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds. You can go to SAW Fairgrounds, all one word, no spaces, .D as in Victor, Z as in Zebra, E.com, and get tickets. The main event of this show is one of the oldest feuds in professional wrestling. It is the Rock and Roll Express taking on the Midnight Express. But a special tag team match has been added to this event. Dangerous Doug Gilbert and the former NWA World Champion Wildfire Tommy Rich are going to team up to face Wolfie D and our special guest this evening. He is a former WWE superstar. He was a part of TNA. He was a part of one of the most infamous groups in wrestling history known as D-Generation X, the New Age Outlaws.
And probably one of the best intros ever.
Damn right. If you put a microphone in front of him, you never know what you're going to get. He is BG James. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight.
Hey, no problem, man. Thank you. I appreciate that introduction, too. It was rather lengthy, but I guess it takes a minute to go over all my monikers and credentials. But, you mentioned the history at the fairgrounds. The card is about as nostalgic as the fairgrounds itself. You know, I've been worked there in Memphis in 1994, 95. And like you said, I worked there at TNA when it was the asylum. It was the birthplace, you know, of the Wednesday night pay-per-views. And so there is a lot of wrestling history there. And on that card there, Saturday, May the 14th, there's a lot of wrestling history there as well.
Speaking of wrestling history, fans will know at WrestleMania, your pops, Bullet Bob Armstrong, the legend, was inducted into the Hall of Fame. What was your initial reaction when you got the call from him and going, so, yeah, Vince called, I'm going to the Hall of Fame?
You know what, it's probably the first time in a long time I've seen my father excited about the professional wrestling business, and I noticed you mentioned up front we shouldn't use that term anymore. And that's funny. It's funny that you said that, because I was actually given that order upon talking to the the creative writing staff at WWE, when I was talking to them about giving my speech to induct my father, they told me you can't say professional wrestling. You have to say sports entertainment industry. And, you know, it was actually really funny to hear these 25-year-old creative writing kids tell me what to say and what not to say. But, when he got the call...
Oh.
Yeah, the kid was like 25, 26 years old. He was a huge Road Dogg fan, which flattered me, of course. But at the same time, I thought, this kid's going to give me direction as to what to say to induct my father into the Wrestling Hall of Fame, you know. But back to your original question, you know, what did I feel like? You know, that was... like I said, it was one time I saw my father excited again about the business. But... you know, it's a kind of a work, so they pick geographically where they're going to have it at as to who was over in that inner territory or vicinity. So it's considered kind of a work, but at the same time, that's one of the only times that I've felt in a long time that it was a real shoot, you know, that it was for real. My dad's been in this business 50 years, and somebody finally, and not just somebody, the biggest wrestling company in the world today on a global scale, kind of gave him an attaboy, you know what I mean? Kind of said, hey, old man, you done good. And it was real. It was damn real, you know, for me and my brothers to induct my father into the Hall of Fame. It really felt good.
Can you look down the road and see you and Billy Gunn, Kip James at some point going in there? I know this is a loaded question, but if Pimp Us, I know it, Mace knows it, the listeners know it. Are you guys Hall of Fame worthy? And is that going to be like the most censored speech in the history of wrestling?
I don't know if we'll ever be there, to tell you the truth. I know there's a little heat between my former partner and the office up there, and so I don't know that they'll ever recognize us on that. You know, they did the Legion of Doom, and they were a huge tag team, but you don't see a whole lot of tag teams getting inducted, and I would think they might do. I don't know. I mean, we were, you know, I don't want to downplay our role in the Attitude Era because I know it was significant. But at the same time, I don't want to say we're Hall of Fame worthy. That's for dang sure.
When you look at what's on now, Al Snow recently did a DVD with Kayfabe Commentaries where he was charged as a booker to take the current PG product and put it with the Attitude Era, TVMA, I think he called it. Does it just blow your mind that everything that you guys did from 1997 forward is now so Hulk Hogan Rock and Wrestling PG? Or do you just go, it's circular, it's about, you know, it's bound to happen?
I don't know. I think it was, you know, it was a business decision for sure on Vince's behalf to PG everything, to play towards the young kids. I mean, that's, you know, if you look at John Cena, I mean, he's definitely Hulk Hogan 30 years later. You know what I mean? He's talking about loyalty, hustle, and respect. And he's saying everything but take your vitamins and say your prayers. And that's, believe you me, that's marketable. There is a huge market there for that. And so I think it business-wise, I know it makes me as a 42-year-old man with three children, you know, of all ages. I know me and my son would much rather, he's 20, we'd much rather sit down and watch old DX tapes. But I know as far as for me and my 7-year-old daughter, I'd much rather sit down and watch John Cena with her. You know, so it's really six of one and a half dozen of the other. It's frustrating to me, but I totally understand it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do have children of both of every age, and so it's tough for me to say he's screwing it up or he's a genius. So you know what I mean? Because I'm borderline on a little bit of both.
BG James joining us here on All I Will of Wrestling Radio. Last Sunday, our pay-per-view coverage with our sister show on this network, Wild Talk Radio, Wrestle Talk Radio, was interrupted by President Obama coming out and saying they captured and terminated Osama bin Laden. As a former military member and someone who was over there for Gulf War Part 1, as sometimes it's referred to, do you take satisfaction in going like, about damn time we got him, or was it one of those you're like, you know what, I could have gotten him a long damn time ago. Just give me a rifle and send me over there.
You know, the truth of it is I know a lot more about politics than I did then. I was 19 years old then, and I just had a gun in my hand and trying to shoot anybody with a turban on, you know. So it was I didn't really know what my mission was then, because I was really young and just inspirational. But, I mean, not inspirational, you know, I can't think of the word now. But anyway, I was impressionable, excuse me. I was impressionable, so I just believed what I was told. You know, of course I took pride in the fact that they got him. I think the professionalism and the, you know, the expertise that they do, they just fast roped in there out of some helicopter, the hellhole of a helicopter, and scooted right up to the third floor of that compound and wasted him. You know what I mean? And to think of that on a militaristic, with a militaristic point of view, that's awesome. You know what I mean? It's just awesome. And then I hate how the next day, the right, far right wingers are just saying, oh, how quaint, they buried his body at sea and they didn't do this. And the left wingers are going, oh, why didn't they capture him and put him, you know, and have him in court? And, you know, for once as Americans, I think we can just all get together and say, they got the son of a biscuit eater, you know, thank God for that. Now, are we any safer? You know, maybe not. But it sure feels good to know the dude who masterminded and probably bankrolled that, you know, devastating day, September the 11th, got a bullet through his eyeball. That feels good to me as an American. So, you know, screw the politics. Let's just be happy that the guy behind that is got what he had coming to him. And now we can get back into the debates of whether to bring the troops home and all that. You know what I mean? That's far above my pay grade.
Yeah, I always love asking this of folks that have been in different backgrounds, like they've gone professional sports to wrestling, and I'm sure your feelings are different than mine. What was harder, basic training to go into the military, or talking your dad into saying, Dad, I want to follow you into the family business?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. My dad said since I was a young man, you don't want to be a wrestler. You don't want to be a wrestler. And I, you know, at times in my career, I've thought, man, I wish I would have listened to my dad. And at other times I've thought, man, did he not know this opportunity was available to me? You know what I mean? So, I definitely know where he was coming from. He's trying to protect me from a hard, long, tough road to hoe, you know, but at the same time, I don't think, because he never saw, and God bless him, he worked hard, and he really got over in the southeastern United States, and he made a lot of money and worked hard, but he never saw the kind of global recognition, you know, until a month ago, you know what I mean? The kind of heights that I reached, and I definitely don't think it's comparable, my career, to his, because it wasn't like it was, you know, 40 years ago. He didn't have the opportunities that I was given. You know, they didn't have national. When he started working, they didn't have TVs, I don't think. So much less a national television show, you know what I mean? It was just very territorial, and he just wasn't on the grand stage that I got to be on. And so I don't think you can compare the two. And if you compared money, really, he probably was, the money was probably comparable to the amount he made and the amounts I made, if you, you know, go into the different times and the different inflation levels and stuff.
When you were coming up through the wrestling ranks, did you get treated any different because of your old man being who he is?
I mean, you know what? I honestly think I did. I was so blessed to have, you know, the Armstrong name as a wrestler, because I do think I got opportunities and so I think there is a bit of nepotism, cronyism, whatever you want to call it, in the wrestling world. You know what I mean? That's the political side of it. If you're Dick Cheney's kid, you're gonna get into the Department of Defense easier. So that's just how it goes. I do like to think that at my highest point, my most successful time in my career, I kind of wasn't known as the young Armstrong. I kind of stood on my own a little bit, and that made me feel good as a wrestler, you know what I mean? As a man, that I wasn't an Armstrong anymore. I was kind of the road dog and kind of my own entity. That made me feel good that I could do that and stand on my own. But I honestly think that moving up, you know, I got hired on in Memphis early on because I was Bob Armstrong's kid, you know? And so I got opportunities were afforded to me that may not have been afforded to just anybody, you know?
Now, I have a question for you. You said you had a 7-year-old daughter?
Yes.
I have a 5-year-old, and watching today's current product with women's wrestling as it is, would you allow your daughter to get into the business knowing that, you know, it's not about the way you can work anymore. It's how you look, according to people in Connecticut.
Yeah. Well, let's start off by saying there's no way in heck I could control whether she got into wrestling or not. Just like my father couldn't control whether I did or not. And but having said that, I would discourage it unless I just saw some incredible athleticism on her behalf. You know what I mean? Unless I just saw that, good God, to hold her back would be, you know, stupid on my behalf. But I also would discourage her from entering into this line of work just because I do know how things are behind the scenes. I know what, this is going to sound horrible because I'm one of them, but I know what scumbags all these wrestlers are. You know what I mean? I know what's on their mind. You know what I'm saying? I know what they're thinking. And, excuse me, guys. And I don't want my daughter being the object of all that. You know what I mean? And so behind the scenes discourages me way more than them being objectified on camera, because that's, you know, that's going to happen with women and men too now, in the media. They're going to be objectified, visually for how good they look or how, you know, that's just how we are in America. It's very superficial, but it's just how it is.
A few years ago, you and, Kip, he was called Kip at the time, Billy Gunn, BG James, whoever, did a shoot interview with Rob Feinstein, and you guys were very colorful about your stance on the tough enough kids, how the way they came in the locker room and didn't treat anybody with respect and whatnot. Were you surprised when you clicked over to USA Network a few weeks ago and said, hey, they're bringing back that tough enough thing? I thought they didn't want to do that anymore.
You know, nothing surprises me anymore in this business. With Vince, he goes the way of the dollar, and that's not a bad thing if you're a businessman. You know what I mean? If he's a businessman, and he makes tough decisions sometimes that anger people, because the people that he makes the decisions against take it personally. As far as that interview goes, I know what you're talking about. Me and Billy did that interview, and that was, we were both, I would, you know, we were both
tired,
drinking
tired.
And drugging at the time. No, I'll just be honest with you.
Okay.
Because neither one of us are living like that no more. We were living a little crazy, and we were still holding some resentments against the WWF as if it were their fault that we weren't working there no more. And I think anybody who saw or knew me or knew him, definitely knows it wasn't their fault that we weren't working there anymore. It was our behavior and our crazy actions, I guess. That's the reason we weren't working there. But you have to kind of sober up a little bit and shake your cobwebs loose and realize, hey, I played a part in all of this crap too, and take up some of your own take responsibility for what you did wrong. And so I think we both look at that videotape. We hear a lot about it, and we think, God darn, I wish I had that one to do over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not because they're going to not hire us now because we said bad things about this guy and that guy, but just because we set them out of spite and we set them with a good buzz on. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we just kind of got riled up and talked, and we didn't really mean everything we said. But we meant the other half.
Speaking of substances, former colleague of yours, Scott Hall, unfortunately, we really wish he wasn't in the news, but he has been in the news. His former wife has come out and said that he has a problem and somebody please help him, and he's made appearances at shows. For someone like you and Billy and others of that era, of that party group, what are your thoughts on Scott? Do you kind of look at him and go, crap, that could have been me?
No, I say crap, that was me. I went to an AA meeting today. I'm just being, to be honest with you here for about 2 minutes. I'm going to shoot straight with you about my whole life. I went to an AA meeting today, and I got my 6-month chip because I've been sober for 6 months today. And that's not a lie, and that's not a plug for anybody. That's just where I'm at in my life today. But I was Scott Hall, and I get on my knees every morning, and I pray to God, and this is all a shoot, and I pray for Scott Hall. I pray for Brian Christopher. I pray for X-Pac. I pray for people who are still taking drugs, because they don't have to take those. They don't have to alter their mind. It's just easier to face there and my reality with a screwed up brain. That's just how I lived for 25 years, and that's how they're still living. And I don't want them to live like that no more, because I love all those guys with all my heart, and I want them to be happy inside their own head, and they're not. That's why they still do what they do, you know. And I hate it for them. So I was Scott Hall. I don't say that could have been me, because it was me. I woke up every morning and I tried to find something to alter my mind, and it became a full-time job that dominated my life, and it almost ruined it, you know. And so today I choose not to alter my mind.
Got an email question from Mike Shook of Seattle, Washington, and says, "Hey, Road Dog, BG, I own the RF shoot interview. Is the story true that the night you guys won the championship belts in Atlanta, you did all the stuff you said you did?"
I have no idea what I said I did, but I did a lot of crazy.
Walk through security with the championship around your waist and had it up the back of the car.
Yes, I did do every bit of that, and Billy was so mad at me, and I thought it was hilarious, you know. It was funny to me. I went right through the metal detector, and it went beep, and I took it off. I said, "Oh, excuse me, it must be the tag title," you know. I it was a big rib to me, but some people were taking it a little more seriously. I thought it was hilarious myself.
Yeah, we got a chat room question from Jersey Girl, who wants to know, oh boy, this is going to be a fun one. What was the worst angle in either WWE or TNA that you were personally a part of that you look back now and go, "God, I wish I could hit the delete button"?
I think that the real Double J thing was not a success, but I don't, you know, I know for a fact that myself and Jeff Jarrett didn't play it all the way through. We was going to come out to where me and Jeff and Shawn Michaels were going to have a three-way dance at the next pay-per-view for the Intercontinental Champion, and it was going to come out that I sang that song, and so me and Jeff both quit halfway through the angle, and so then like a year later they brought me back. And I kind of feel like they did it just to kind of screw with Jeff a little bit. And so they brought me back, and I, of course, needed a job. So I took it. And it just, that's about a year after that is when we did the start of the New Age Outlaws, because I went to Vince and I just pleaded with him to stop making me go down to the ring singing that song. It was just, it was not going nowhere. And it was just I don't mind the song. I actually am pretty proud of the song. I got to go in and record a song in a professional studio, and it was, you know, it's neither here nor there whether it was good or bad. It was a great opportunity and a great experience for me. But that whole angle, it was just seemed like it was going nowhere, and I was just going downhill. And so I guess that one, I would like to have seen it through with Jeff being a part of it and see where they were going to take it, because they really put a lot of money into it, and I think it might have been successful if we'd have played the whole tape through. You know what I mean?
Mm. Now, just got a quick question. I was actually listening to an interview done by friends of ours with Billy Gunn last night, and just to go
friends
back
of yours,
to...
yours, not mine.
Yeah, you know, friends of mine, not yours. Shut up, Alan. But going back to your feud with Cactus Jack and Mick Foley back in 98, the infamous dumpster dive, Billy said that you actually wussed out on taking the dive.
Whoa.
Billy said that?
Billy said that last night. So
he would remember correctly, because I dang sure didn't. No, I don't remember wussing out. I think they asked us if we wanted to do it, and I said no. I don't know if that's wussing out, but I didn't feel like we needed to do that. They volunteered to take the dive. I wasn't going to do it, you know. And that's what Vince actually, I told Vince that he shouldn't do it. Vince wanted to do it before they did to make sure it was safe. You know, he likes to do that kind of thing and show the people. And I said, no, there's no reason to do that. There was no reason for even Jack and Terry Funk to do it, to tell you the truth. We could, you know, there was ways around it, but they said, no, we'll take it. I don't remember. If Billy said that, it must be true, but I don't remember it that way.
Well, I've still got that at the moment. I was sort of looking back over your days, early days in WWF. What would you have rather been, the roadie or the rockabilly?
Oh man, I'd have much rather been the roadie. The roadie was a sweet gig, bro. I don't know if you're in the business or not or what the deal is, but the roadie was the best. the roadie was the best gimmick going. I didn't have to take many bumps. I just fed in for everybody's finish. I got to pop up on the apron every now and then, and I was the heat seeker. It was great, great gimmick, man. I got paid a lot of money one WrestleMania just to stand outside the ring. I think I popped up for one spin kick or something like that, WrestleMania 14. So, you know, the roadie was the sweetest gig ever. It was the Double J gimmick. That's when I wrestled rockabilly every night, first match, and that was painful.
Now, we have a question.
Go ahead,
Slug. We have a question that we ask everybody, and you feel free to answer it if you wish.
Unless you're writing a book and then save it for the book.
Right. But what is the best rib that you have ever seen pulled, or had pulled on you?
I'll go to, I think the best rib I ever did, there's been several that I've seen that I don't want to do because it'll incriminate others, but I'll incriminate myself with this one. That stuff, hot stuff that they spray on themselves, to like muscle guys do, it makes them red and pumped up or whatever. It's called hot stuff. And if you guys are in the business, you know the deal. And if your listeners, you spray, it's an application, you put spray on your body, and anyway, I'm incredibly allergic to it. Like, it literally broke me out so bad I had to go to the emergency room and get an epi shot, you know, epinephrine shot. It swelled my lips closed. And so anyway, the WWF sent out a memo for guys not to wear this anymore because there was guys on the roster that was really allergic to it. And I was the guys on the roster, you know. They didn't want to put my name on because they thought it would get me heat. Well, of course it got me heat. So Davey Boy, God rest his soul, and Lex Luger used to wear this crap like crazy. And they put it on before every match. And they, even after the memo came out, they continued to put it on before every match. And I would pleaded with them, and they laughed at me because I was the young guy, and they were Davey Boy Smith and Lex Luger, and I was just the lowly piss boy. So when they went to the ring, I took their hot stuff and I poured half of it out and I peed in the bottle and filled it back up. And so for the next 2 weeks, they wore my urine out to the ring for every night until somebody stooged me off and told them. And so I came back into the dressing room and my bag was turned upside down. All my clothes were torn in half and there was tobacco spit poured all in my crap. And, I deserve that. They got me but I still feel like I got the best end of that deal. You know what I mean? They had to wear my pee out there. They don't even have any idea how long. They literally wore it out there for like 2 weeks every night.
Oh,
just
my God.
Soaked in my urine. And so, but, you know, they were causing me pain and anguish, and they didn't seem to care. So, you know, and that's horrible now because Davey's not here anymore. And Lex is not in the best physical condition. He's still there mentally. He's a good guy. I just actually spoke with him at WrestleMania. He's doing well. But, you know, it was the time, I didn't like those guys too much at the time.
Yeah. At this event on Saturday, you're teaming with Wolfie D against Doug Gilbert and Tommy Rich. And this is, besides yourself, these are names that the true Mid-South Southern wrestling fan will know. Do you stand in awe sometimes when you go, okay, I'm about to lock up with a guy, granted he held the NWA world title for 4 days, but Tommy Rich still did it. Is this something that you've been looking forward to, being a part of this Fairgrounds event?
It is like that. And sometimes it's surreal and you don't really think of it like that. But when, you know, when I hang up this phone in a few minutes, I'm going to realize holy crap, that guy was right. I'm going to lock up with the, and you know, I watched that when I was probably 11, 12 years old. I watched him as the world heavyweight, and he was over as crap. I mean, that was Tommy Wildfire Rich. I'm from the South, so I remember those days, you know. I remember that well. And, God, he was over. He was so over, you know. And you know, you see him now, and you kind of forget about that stuff. Just like people see me now. They go, oh, wear the braids, and I remember this, and I remember that. Well, that was, you know, that was 15 years ago, you know. That times have changed. I'm a different person now, and so are you, chances are. But so you overlook that a lot of times. But it's, you know, Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express. When I was, you know, 15 years old, I went to a pay-per-view, one of the first ones in the old WCW days. I don't even know if it was called that. It was like Georgia Championship or something. It was so long ago. And they were feuding then. So, you know, it's really nostalgic, like I mentioned at the beginning. It's really wrestling tradition, especially in the South. You know, I know that both teams got some national recognition. You know, they used to go to Ohio and kind of travel around. But in the South, those two teams feuded, and it was huge. You know, drew huge money. I got the Jim Cornette book. You know, it's kind of like a big fat magazine, but it's got some great stuff in it. I don't know if any of y'all have it, but it's awesome. And it talks about how to get rich beating on Ricky. And they literally did it. In 1986, I think was the year, they literally got rich beating Ricky Morton up, you know, every night across the world. And so this feud goes way, way back. It's going to be fun to see those guys, man.
Yeah, when you hear about something like this going down, this tribute to the fairgrounds, and then you also hear this unfortunate stuff that the legendary Mid-South Coliseum might be razed and destroyed, shouldn't these buildings be historical landmarks at this point? I mean, they already got rid of the Sportatorium and World Class, and then down here in Florida where Eddie Graham and his legendary days, certain stuff's destroyed, but does it bring a tear to you possibly to go, holy crap, this may be the last time I'm walking into the fairgrounds?
Yeah. I don't know that they should be, you know, national landmarks, but in the wrestling world, I think they are landmarks and they will always be remembered as such. But, you know, maybe not always, but they will be for years to come by traditionalists. You know, wrestling traditionalists will always remember, especially Southern wrestling traditionalists, will always remember Mid-South Coliseum. They'll always remember Nashville Fairgrounds, you know, and they will always remember the Sportatorium, Texas. And so, you know, our memories will make them landmarks. You know, whether the building stands or not, our memories will definitely, they'll always be landmarks in our minds, you know.
Yeah, we wish we could keep him longer, fans, but he's got to go. Go to sawfairgrounds.vze.com, or you can call 724-355-3172. The tickets are also going to be available at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds, $15 for VIP, general admission is $10. There is a pre-show wrestling seminar with Dirty Dutch Mantell and Loverboy Dennis Condrey. You can email dirtydutchmantell@gmail.com. Thank you so much once again. Stay with us as we go to break here on... yeah, we did a Van Halen night a while ago, so it's apropos that I do Van Hagar night. So coming up after the break, we'll get into everything with TNA Wrestling and WWE here on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling dolls today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Brett Berry,
Candice LaSalle,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
yesterday,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman,
and tomorrow,
TJ Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use, Online World of Wrestling, www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Hey, this is the Spud Guy, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern as we get an in-depth with the world of wrestling. And as always, you can find me there, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, you, go, Wild Talk. Wild Talk. You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey, you go. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much to BG James, the Road Dog, the former Roadie, and every other name you want to think of him for there. Online World of Wrestling Radio back here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you're a Facebook follower of ours, and I believe there's 981 of you last count, thanks for doing it. Check this out. Thanks to
Let's get to 1,000.
Yeah, thanks to the god of internet radio, Sir Rockin', and I believe it's the Ustream folks, you can be on our Facebook page and listen to this show live. There's a Ustream tab underneath our profile photo. You just go there, click it, and you can listen in just like everybody else in the world is. So, I never thought, Spug and Mace, that we could trump Steve Carino's story of a Samoa Joe lookalike with C.W. Anderson, but I believe the Road Dog, well, B.G. James has done it. That was pretty interesting to hear.
It has been trumped. We have a new top story. And
yeah.
He was just such a good bloke to interview.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we have a new roller joint champion. We got a new rib champ. So hopefully in the near future, in the next couple of weeks, we got some really cool guests lined up. I'm not going to spill 100% who they are yet because, like this one, I need to thank Lakeisha Oliver Burdine of Examiner.com. She was helping us, and Marcus, who runs this event over this weekend. This guest was literally gotten 24 hours ago. So for him to come on and such short notice was really awesome.
And I got the Twitter update on my phone yesterday and I was like, really?
Really?
Yeah, I was like, wow, alright. Well, I guess I gotta be home on. Cause I was legitimately thinking about not coming on tonight. I was gonna go see Thor.
Thor.
You realize 2 weeks in a row you've screwed up my plans, Wojcik?
Yeah. Yeah, now that
I have to wait. Now I have to wait 3 more years to see Amon Amarth again. Because they only come to the States once every 3 years.
Yeah, normally these two gentlemen are a part of OTL on Wednesday nights, which is the Geek Fest, as they like to call it. I know other people call it that too. Mace, you said you already saw the Thor movie. Is it worth us checking out?
Due to Spug planning to see the movie, I shall not reveal any information.
But is it good?
Go ahead. I've seen a shit ton of previews for it. I just
well, don't just say it. Thumbs up, thumbs down, or avoid.
Is it worth it? Is it worth plunking down my money to go see?
Okay, it's a safe Marvel movie, meaning they stick very well to the core mytho of the character and everything.
Cool.
But they don't try and do anything different with it.
Right.
So it's a very safe movie. That's all I'm going to say about it. Mind you, Almighty Thor, I've still got to watch that.
Oh, God.
That's a rip-off with Kevin Nash in it.
Oh, really?
Wait, they did a rip-off Thor movie?
Yeah, it was on Sci-Fi Sunday night.
Yeah, Sci-Fi did that with Battle of Los Angeles. They did Battle of, instead of Battle Los Angeles, they did Battle of Los Angeles. So it's just like, okay, did you do this in your cousin's backyard or something? Seriously? While we got a few minutes here, I want to cover some quick indie news. These two can breathe because they're still going, dude, we really talked to him. Yes. As mentioned before, the Sheik is the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion. However, when he won the championship from our least favorite guest, Classical Cabana, he was also holding the NWA North American title. Now, of course, NWA board of directors say, no, pick one. Duh, of course I'm taking the world title. So since then, they have vacated the North American Championship, and they're holding a tournament which will be held through various locations in the NWA in the coming weeks and months. On May 5th, we had Ace Rockwell defeat Christian Jaime in a first-round tournament match at NWA Main Event in Nashville. On the 15th, at NWA Pro South Wrestling in Piedmont, Alabama, former guest of ours, Mike Posey, will take on Kyle Matthews at NWA Anarchy in Cornelia, Georgia. On the 14th, you're going to see Sean Tempers take on Caprice Coleman. And on the 15th, you're going to see at NWA Rampage Pro Wrestling, which we've had Jimmy Rave on and talk about that lovely endeavor. We're going to see J-Rod take on Corey Hollis. So you can log on to the official website of the National Wrestling Alliance, NWAWrestling.com, to check that out. If you live in Kissimmee, Florida, on May the 27th, there will be a pro wrestling event fundraiser for the Liberty Cheerleading Program. This will be at the Charger Dome. It is at 4250 Pleasant Hill Road in Kissimmee. There will be an 8-man tournament to crown the first annual King of Spring that will have London Vice, Josh Rain, Brandon Shaher, Maxwell Chicago, Lindsay Dorado, Shiva Boy, Wayne Van Dyke, and QT Marshall. There'll be some women's wrestling action with Jessica Hayes taking on Santana. The Latin Assassins, Gus Money and Mike Cruz will be there, Shooter Storm, Jason Knight, and a whole bunch more.
That is to raise money for the Liberty High School's cheerleading program. You can find them on Facebook, and you guys are messaging me to shut up. Why are we shutting me up?
No, we were trying to get your microphone adjusted without interrupting the show.
Oh, my
microphone. Thank you for making us fail.
My microphone is screwing up again? Seriously? I just spent $2 million of your hard-earned dollars on this. I'm kidding. Yeah. So that is...
with the Australian government. We're spending money on stuff that don't work.
Damn right. So there's your information on that one. I need to bring this up. I originally didn't want to bring it up. Then my wife was like, nah, bring it up, bring it up. Who gives a crap? So I'll bring it up. Tonight is this trio's 50th show together. So pat on the back to everybody here for that one. And the reason I bring it up is because our
quick Spug, hang up.
Yeah, this is the last time I'm ever going to refer to this one. So if Nick Anthony and Aaron Kendrick and Corey Morrow are listening, hit record on your button and listen really, really good, because I'm going to address this one time and only one time, because for the last year, I've never addressed it, and I'm going to address it now. 1 year ago, those three gentlemen and another cat who goes as NDX were a part of this program with me. After episode 50 and Nick Anthony pissed me off to the point that I actually hung up, I quit Online World of Wrestling Radio. These two gentlemen, along with Sir Rock and along with Tim Stein, happened to be listening and said to me, did this really happen? Yes, it really happened. I know, because I won an award for it, and that was really cool. Thank you to the fans for voting me into the WTR Awards. That was really cool. Who knew hanging up would get you so far in this world? The reason this was brought up was because when we went to publicize last week's show in the recap with the wonderful J.J. Dillon, who was, we were told, had a lot of fun at the Legends of the Ring. Thanks again to Sean Oliver for that guest. Aaron Kendrick shot his mouth off, and I debated this whole week of, do I sweep this under the rug? No, I'm bringing it down to the air, because these little bitches, that's right, I called you bitches, deal with it, highlight it with a big fat pen, because that's what you are, proclaim that I went to Brad Dykens and Jason Dedrich and got you kicked off of the show. Not your show, the show. Since I took over the show, I have never referred to it as my show, because this is not my show. This is owned by Sir Rockin, Tim Stein, Brad Dyson, Jason Dedrich. Wild Talk Radio Network owns this. I will produce emails that show that I didn't do jack crap to get you buttheads kicked off of the show. The only email I ever sent to Brad Dykens was apologizing for my conduct and hope that it didn't damage my reputation of being a part of his website, since I've been doing this stuff since 2002 when TNA Wrestling was born. So as far as I stole all of your address book, guess what? This is in the address book, because when Brad gave me the website, and that. So any guests that myself have booked here, or Brad is booked, or Jason is booked, I earn them my own. I know I'm ranting, I know I'm raving. Not Jimmy raving, but raving. And I know Spug and Mace are going, dude, shut the hell up. So I'm going to shut up, because
pretty much.
Later, nobody listens to your show. You've been on two networks, nobody cares. I just gave you more pub than you'll ever see in your lives. So do us all a favor, go back into the hole that you came out of in Arkansas and Los Angeles and drop dead. Now to more important news.
I'll chime in for a quick second here, Alan. Also time. Give you a chance to fix up your microphone.
Yeah.
Look, if they want to try and hunt down somebody, hunt down Tim. Tim was the one who went to Brad. Pure and simple. Tim turned around and said, you leave those fuckers on, you're not doing broadcasting on our network. Pure and simple. That's what it was. You want to go after anybody? Try going after Tim. I can tell you now, it's not going to happen. So, you know what? Fuck them. Little bitches, who cares? The show's 10 times better with the current group we've got now. So, let's get on with some wrestling talk. Wait, we're not allowed to call it that anymore.
Don't do it unless you're gonna make him be, you're gonna make Road Dogg laugh at us. Once again, Kevin Scott's normally with us, and, he's not tonight again. Jamal is out. I believe he's actually out socializing. I'm not 100% sure.
He's out being a pisshead.
Oh, he's allowed to. The dude was near death. When you're told that your throat constricted to the point that you weren't breathing, wouldn't let him go out and have his fun. We know, if the guest that we're hoping for happens in 2 weeks, he'll definitely be here. I can't leak it yet because I'm still working it. We briefly talked Tough Enough last week. We'll save TNA Wrestling to put Spug asleep later on in the show. Tough Enough last night, we saw not one, but two eliminations. The big gentleman, Eric, was let go, and in my personal opinion, and I don't know about Spug or Mace, I was very surprised that Ivelisse was sent home. But let me present why, and then I'll open the floor to you guys. Jump in the time machine for a second here, and let's go back to Tough Enough Season 2. Jackie Gata, now Jackie Gata Haas, has a severe knee injury. She's sent to the medic, whatever you want to call it, doctor, I don't know what they call it. Is it a physio? Is that what the Australian term would be? Is that what it's called, the physio?
No, yeah, that's what we call it, the physio. Mm-hmm.
So Jackie Gatiss straps on a knee brace, proceeds to go, and instead of Kenny King winning, she wins. Fast forward to now, Ivelisse, thanks to a botched leapfrog with Christina Crawford, injures herself 2 weeks ago. They proceed last night to cut her, and it cut her because of the injury. Now, I guess, okay, you know, she's injured. Why not? I mean, we've already seen bumpers for next week showing that someone else is going to the hospital and coming out with their foot in a humongous cast. So I pass this to Mace and the Spug. And if you're listening to us for the first time because BG James is here, I'll let you know that both Mace and Spug are trained professional wrestlers. Mace works out of Australia. Spug on and off has been a part of the Ohio area, and hopefully other endeavors really soon. Canadian, this is sent to you. Book them. To Mace, thoughts? I mean, we knew Eric was probably the next one to go. I was surprised that AJ stayed, but, you know, I'm confused on why Ivelisse was let go.
Because of her injury?
Yeah. That was a sympathy, you know, boot out the door. Her injuries were holding her back. She wasn't able to push through them in what I consider the most insane amount of arrogance shown out of these guys. But I can understand why they're saying what they've said. But Eric should have been on the chopping block a long time ago. He came into the thing unconditioned. He had no idea what he was doing. It was getting to the point where it's like, yeah, get rid of him for God's sake. But Ivelisse, that was a sympathy cut, pure and simple. She was going to be in a lot more pain. She was going to end up either re-tearing, I think it was a quad or something she's ripped, or making it worse over the long run. And, you know, they wanted to try and get her off without looking like complete and utter dickheads. But then again, Booker T decided to put his foot in his mouth by going, oh, you just suck it up. Yeah, that's why we have situations like Edge.
Oh, which I'm sure is definitely something that's in their mind. I mean, this was taped before Edge retired, but then as Booker T said, no, you suck it up, you keep going. I don't remember Booker ever being severely injured, but as he said, we rarely let on that we're injured.
I know you got to go on with the show and everything. And if you get injured and you don't try and push through it and work over it, you end up with a chance of losing your spot and all that stuff. But how many guys do we end up losing every year because they've blown their knee or they've done their neck or something? Or how many of these older wrestlers end up in a freaking wheelchair at the age of 50 because of the injuries they've sustained in the ring and they just push through it?
Yeah, and that's the scary part is that, as I said, they probably didn't want that liability on them. I mean, as I said, I'm not a physician. We don't know. Cause I mean, when these kids got hurt, like season one, Paulina went to the hospital, Kevin went to the hospital, all these guys went to, you know, season two, had health issues too. They've never really shown a lot of the backstage stuff that has gone on with these kids. I mean, obviously we're going to see it as the teaser showed that it looks like either Luke or Martin, both of them may be getting injured. So it's just awkward, but you know, we wish them both the best. Were you surprised that AJ stuck around? Did you think that he was the one that was going, or did you? I originally thought all three of them were out of here. I thought he was going to go like, all right, all three, guess what? We're not doing a double. We're doing a triple elimination. Get the hell out of here.
Look, I had no thoughts at all that AJ was going to go. I picked Ivelisse and Eric from the start of the episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just one of those weird things, but you know, once again, welcome to WWE where they do all this stuff. Tell you what we're going to do. Now that I've ranted, I need to get a water and, we're going to take a quick break here and reset everything for hour number two. We will get into everything with WWE from Friday Night SmackDown, from Raw, walking into Over the Limit, I believe, is the next pay-per-view 2 weeks from Sunday. As mentioned, tonight is a Van Hagar night. I believe Sammy has a new book out, but then again, it seems like everyone in the music business has one out. So check out Sammy Hagar online for that one. And we'll be back on Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Sophia Restaurant, may I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Pie. Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you... Egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yes.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want
chicken
fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
we have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
This is former ECW WWE superstar Kevin Thorne, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network, our number always is 267-297-1397, or you can Skype Sir Rockin'. Spug Mace joining us here on the show. Sir Rockin' is on the other side of the glass, as always, here. Since I'm doing this Van Hagar thing, where do you stand, Spug, on the whole Van Halen, Van Hagar issue? Who's your favorite and why?
I don't have one. I could care less.
Really?
I think Van Halen is an overhyped band to begin with.
Ooh. Interesting.
Look, Eddie Van Halen was really talented, but he's a douche. Listen to any interview with Eddie Van Halen, and he just comes across as a douche.
Read his ex-wife Valerie Vernelli's book, and you'll really get a great impression of him.
Yeah, I could care. He's an extremely talented guitarist, but the band itself, it's not that great.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I want to ask Mace, because I don't know. Are you into, do you listen to Van Halen at all? Or are you like him going like, move on, I don't care about the music?
I listen to music, I don't have opinion of bands.
Okay, Jersey Girl asked in our chat room something that I want to bring up. She said, wanted to know,
the final two Tough Enough contestants, since the show was already in the can, she was curious to know if I thought they were here at FCW until the final. I haven't seen any reports of them being here, but that doesn't mean they're not here training at Camp Kern, as it's been nicknamed by some of our friends. So they may be here, but they're disappearing during afterwards. They do their taping on Thursday night. So if they're here, I have no idea. I would think it, but you never know. Well, I'll actually address that in a second or two here. Sir Rockin brought this up to me, and I'm very flattered. He wanted me to thank some of the folks that actually are listening to us live from the United Kingdom, where it's at least 3-4 in the morning? Wow. So, thank you to all of you that are doing that with us. We really appreciate it. I know where Mace is. It's actually tomorrow. So it's like, hey, that's pretty cool. Like, people listening overseas? That's pretty far out. To the other point of Jersey Girl.
That's why they call it the World Wide Web.
Yeah, since we can't call it the Worldwide Wrestling Federation or World Wrestling Federation or WWE anymore, or World Wrestling Entertainment for that matter. This came from some friends in New York, so bear with me for a second here. Speaking of Tough Enough, the head trainer, the big head honcho, Stone Cold Steve Austin, is being advertised locally on their TV up there, on either USA Network or the local channels, for the upcoming June 13th Monday Night Raw event at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, as it's referred to. It's scheduled to be a 3-hour episode of Raw and falls after the finale of Tough Enough on USA Network, so we're not, who knows what's going to go on there or not. Before we break down SmackDown and Raw themselves, some quick news and notes. Yes, WrestleMania 27 is available for purchase today in the 3-disc version or a 27-disc version. I don't know how many discs they make up for that thing anymore. And also, That's What I Am, the movie that they've been pubbing on TV with Randy Orton and Ed Harris and Amy Madigan, who's Ed Harris's wife, is also available in stores. If you attended the Knoxville event last night or happen to be listening to us on your phone, which is pretty amazing because you're listening through us through the WTR WireNode.mobi app, which is really cool. Thanks for doing that. You'll know that former WWE star Trevor Murdoch worked dark matches last night, losing Evan Bourne, and tonight I believe he's also in Nashville. Read into it what you want. I'm not sure if I would read anything to it. Maybe just picking up a payday. He did a pretty small shot with TNA Wrestling a few months ago under another name that it was so long ago I can't even remember what he was called. So if he comes back, hey, cool. Well, as some fans on the OWW Genesis forum said, why not use him as, oh yeah, Dick Murdoch's son or grandson or something like that, because dude looks like him, so I don't know why they never rolled with it. Maybe that's where the name came from, I don't know. And unfortunately, fans will remember him as the former partner of the late Lance Cade, which was some pretty sad stuff to hear about. Also last night, little Nunzio, or little Guido, or James Maritato, whatever you name want to call him, worked as a referee on Raw. He has done some shots already as a wrestling house, including Madison Square Garden. He did, I believe, on a short notice when they had some inclement weather, and he living up there, they called him in. So there's no word if he's been signed to become a referee, and you know, hopefully he does. If you can't do it in the ring like that anymore, why not? Mace referees on time to time. So hey, I'm happy he's getting the paycheck no matter how it works. We talked injury a few moments ago about Ivelisse of Tough Enough. This one is even worse. This came from WWE.com, and of course, R-Truth, Ron Killings, brought it up last night on Raw. And it was kind of funny to see him on Tough Enough last night. John Morrison is expected to miss anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks due to a pinched nerve in his neck.
Dr. Christopher Amann, A-M-A-N-N, confirmed that the recovery time is only expected to be a few weeks as a result of the surgery. Quote, this is considered minimally invasive surgery, unlike other procedures such as those undergone by John Cena.
What?
You're doing that tunnel thing again.
I can't help it. It's the headset I'm on. I just bought it a month ago.
That's why I interrupted you. Now you're not doing it anymore.
Lovely. So as the doctor said, it's 4 to 6 weeks. So, most likely, I'm guessing, injured before the spot on Monday Night Raw last week that R-Truth took him out. Nice way to ride him out, isn't it? Well, we wish him nothing but the best. I wanted to bring Morrison up with Tovano because I was very surprised that they didn't bother to mention on the air to these kids. By the way, he was in your shoes a few years ago. Forget just, kids, he won Tough Enough 3.
Just like the guy who was the first legitimate MMA star to try and cross over into wrestling.
Exactly.
I really do love the revisionist history. I really do. It's something that just kind of boggles my mind. I didn't think that Dan Severn or Ken Shamrock left the WWE on bad terms. So, you know, and Dan Severn was a couple of time UFC champion. Ken Shamrock was a couple of time UFC champion. So that's not legitimate enough.
I don't know. I wish I could figure it all out. Welcome to reality TV as we know it here in the industry.
It's not reality TV. It's revisionist history.
I know that, but it could be the producers of this show telling WWE, this is the way we want to do it, or this is that. Who knows? I don't understand it. I wish I worked in TV, because then I could say to them, you dumbasses, I like to present you with this DVD. Watch this.
Continue. I'm listening.
I'm going to continue. We revealed it last week on the air live with fans from Orlando chimed in for the event that we watched this past week that we have a brand new world heavyweight champion. I believe they said on the air it was his 8th championship reign. That Randy Orton is the champion over on Friday Night SmackDown. Christian came out at the opening of the show. He gave a whole grandiose speech. He was interrupted not only by Mark Henry, the great Khali, but Randy Orton. And, of course, Teddy Long made the infamous decision of, I'm going to let the fans pick who's going to wrestle here. Like, duh, who do you think they're going to pick?
They're obviously going to pick Mark Henry.
Damn right. They're going to pick the Subway KFC man himself. Before we break down the rest of this show, I want to go to Spug, because Mace had his say last week, and thoughts on this? I mean, Chris Jericho came out and said, all you fans are jumping ahead of this, and maybe there's a storyline here that they just didn't take it off them, to take it off them. What are you thinking when you hear it?
There could be a storyline, that's fine, but Randy Orton was already on the SmackDown roster, okay? Randy Orton was already there. You could have put Randy Orton in you could have put Randy Orton in that title match at Extreme Rules and had him go over. Because as we know, all right, WWE has been very critical of Christian in that he is nothing more than a upper mid-carder. They don't think any more of him and that he can carry the world heavyweight title. And you have an individual in Randy Orton, who is a multiple time world heavyweight champion and is one of the top stars in that company. So when you put him in a match with Randy Orton, what the hell, Mr. Chris Jericho, are the fans supposed to expect when they put the belt back on Randy Orton? It's not a storyline thing. It's that the WWE has no confidence in Christian's ability to get over as a champion. And if they would hand the man a microphone and let him speak, they might have a little bit more confidence. Idiots.
And now that it's a week later, Mace, do you still feel the same way that you did last week?
Still pissed off at the decision? Yeah. But I still don't blame Randy Orton. I blame the office.
I'm not mad at Randy Orton.
Yeah. Well, I never said you were. Don't get so defensive.
I'm sorry.
Just stay on the floor and nurse your kidney stone.
I'm nursing my back spasm, dude. I'm laying here on my heating pad, yeah.
That's even worse.
But yeah, like, so many people have come out and started bashing Randy Orton. It's not Orton's fault. It's the guys holding the writing pen and McMahon standing over them. They're the people at fault. And it's a shame, but, you know, we have got information that Christian will be getting his rematch. Which hopefully leads into a storyline.
That's great if he gets his rematch, but, you know, $20 says he's not going to win. You know, I mean, $20 says they're not going to put the belt back on him and put him over. So there's no point in really continuing this, because we all know that we all assume that they want to keep the belt on Randy Orton, because according to sources in WWE, he has better drawing power and he's a bigger draw. That's fine. But it's a slap in the face to Christian to put the belt on him for 2 days for the sole purpose of a storyline, when you could have easily kept the storyline and kept a Christian versus Orton storyline by putting the belt onto Orton at Extreme Rules.
So you would have had to take CM Punk, put him somewhere else while this was going on.
You know what?
Because there's no money in the bank situation here for Randy to walk out and go, I want my title shot and I want it now.
No, but you, like I said, they broke, when Randy Orton got drafted to SmackDown, right? You could have rewritten the match right there. You could have. And since the little disclaimer at the bottom always says, cards subject to change, it wouldn't have been that hard.
Well, let's put it to this point, because as I said, we had both Jim Barcelona and Scott Fishman last week, and both of them aired their feelings, and you can go to the iTunes store and download us there. You can go to Click Wrestle, the official on-demand site, download us there too. It goes back to what we've said before here. You know, Adam Copeland doesn't get hurt. None of this ever happens, and I'm fine. I know they had to rush the draft to cover up, and there's no need to cover up. Could have done it after this coming pay-per-view.
They didn't rush the draft. The draft was held at the tail end of April last year, too. They didn't rush anything.
Weren't they originally planning the draft to be about June, July this year?
I thought that's what all the internet reports. That's why I brought it up, because a lot of the internet reports were saying, oh, we're going to go in June, so that way they can get through whatever overseas tours they were going to do, which normal is the norm after WrestleMania. And I believe they're possibly going overseas again to the Far East in the near future. I think after this pay-per-view that's coming up on the 22nd, which is out of the Key Arena in Seattle, Washington.
The draft was held at the end of April last year, and it's not like it's, you know, some giant conspiracy or giant cover up to hold that they held their draft in April as opposed to a planned June or July. You know, they could have easily, you know, could have easily just moved one or two guys over to SmackDown. It happens all the time. We see guys coming back and forth from show to show all the time. So it's not that big of a deal to me. I took issue with the way you said conspiracy. I'm sorry.
Everything's a conspiracy, man. And there's conspiracies upon the conspiracies.
Fail me.
I've been failing for a long time, dude, and I'm just getting warmed up. We found out from the SmackDown portion of the evening, for Superstars, which unfortunately in the U.S. is internet-based now, Tyson Kidd defeated Trent Barretta with a new manager. No, not Natalya. No, not Bret Hart. Damn, I really wish it would have been Johnny Devine. Michael P.S. Hayes is apparently a new manager for Tyson Kidd, the former T.J. Wilson. A little weird.
The kid needs a talker, by the sounds of it.
I don't remember T.J. being he was here in FCW ever cutting promos in any kind, and maybe that's what Natalya was there for back in the day, or Harry Smith, or was he Canadian Cowboys? Is that what they're possibly going with him now?
I have no idea.
I have no idea, but I think
that used to walk around with TJ.
I think he went right back to down here at FCW.
No, I agree with Mace. It sounds to me like they need somebody to talk for him. And we all know Michael Hayes can talk.
Oh, and then some.
Hey, it gets Michael Hayes back on television.
Right.
I'm all for it.
As long as Michael Hayes comes out first to Freebird.
Remember, you have to refer to him. You have to refer to him as his true WWE name, Doc Hendricks.
And other names. That was always one of those names. You just looked at and went,
just haunting. We're starting to learn about WWE. They guys have like 8,000 names.
They do.
Oh, I'm sure you go to the adult back in the list. I mean, was Stone Cold Steve Austin saying they faxed them like 40 names before you ended up as Stone Cold Steve Austin, and some of them were just the most ridiculous ones ever. So, if it's getting TJ some TV time, that's great. He was on Friday Night SmackDown, losing to Sin Cara with Chavo Guerrero. Yes, fans, he's still on the payroll, and damn, I wish he was used more. And maybe with Sin Cara having a chat to do in the ring, obviously Sin Cara's mouth is covered, so I don't know if he's saying anything to Chavo other than, I loved your family. Loved if it weren't for them, none of us would be here. It looks like the core is now minus one, and that would be Ezekiel Jackson, who defeated the Big Show with an assist from them, but he decides, F you, I'm out of here, walks to the locker room, and like everyone else, the core destroyed Ezekiel Jackson. Knew this was coming. Can you see this guy as a face, either one of you? Or does he stay as the monster heel?
He should stay as the monster heel, which would be the logic, but... what a surprise. The guy that they brought in because they had nothing for him is now leaving the stable. Oh, well, he can always rely on the ECW Championship. Oh, wait. I love how they've never mentioned that once since he won the belt. He is the former ECW Champion. He was the last ECW Champion. No, nothing? Okay.
Now, last of version 2 is known. The other note out of this is we had another Karma sighting. That's right, our friend Karma appeared after Layla defeated Alicia Fox, and Layla ran like as fast as her little 5-foot-nothing body can carry her, and Alicia Fox got destroyed with the implant buster. And
hey, but props to Alicia Fox. She actually tried to take on Karma. Stupid move, but still.
and then some. And of course, it led to last night in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the home of the University of Tennessee, where Eve Torres and Kelly defeated the Bella Twins, and it was Eve Torres who was served up with the implant buster. If ballpark it for me, do either one of you see her actually having an on-TV match by Over the Limit, or is she knockouts, wrong network, sorry. Does she knock off all these divas till she gets to Gail Kim or Beth Phoenix, or should she start actually having matches with these kids? And that's the inevitable goal, is a Beth Phoenix or Gail Kim or Melina and Natalia, the workers of this roster. No offense to anyone else that's on the roster right now.
Look, the way I'd book it, have her keep coming out and beating down the divas week after week, even through the pay-per-view into next month, and then you have, at some point, the divas turn around and go, okay, she has taken out practically the entire roster. We need to get back at her. Have the divas team up against Karma. Still have Karma railroad them. And then you bring out somebody like your Gail Kim, your Beth Phoenix, Natalia, and then you put her into a feud. Don't be so quick to take away this coming out and squashing thing that she's doing, because it's setting her character up so well. And to put her in a match this quickly would end up ruining it and turning her into just another women wrestler they're divas.
Divas.
In the locker room.
Yeah, I don't know about Spug or you, but when I saw that match start up, I was like, oh, cool, Eve Torres, and here comes Gail Kim. Wait, what's with the blonde? I mean, is it my imagination, either one of you, or are we going to have to put Gail Kim up with the Desmond Wolf poster soon?
She's around, she just doesn't know what she's doing.
Not it, because Daniel Bryan's over on SmackDown now, so I guess she got sent into limbo.
Well, I remember reading it on one of her tweets on Twitter that she guessed that with the draft that was the breakup.
Damn.
So it's like she has no idea if the storyline's going on or anything.
No
by the sound
flowers,
of things.
No goodbye. Spunk no, just solar, I'm sure.
But you got to remember, this is a Daniel Bryan storyline. Nobody will bother putting that any more than like 2 weeks on television.
It's a shame. And
unless you pay extra for the DVD and for the 3-disc edition DVD, then you can see his matches.
I forgot to mention him and Sheamus had another match on Friday Night SmackDown, and Sheamus defeated Daniel Bryan. This is two shows in a row from SmackDown on Friday to Raw that the show was opened with I'm going to go to the ring and I'm going to challenge somebody. But wait, I'm going to come out. I'm going to challenge somebody. No, not you. I'm going to challenge somebody. That happened with Alberto Del Rio going there. Opened the show, complaining that The Rock's birthday party trumped his arrival. He was interrupted by Rey Mysterio. He was interrupted by The Miz. He was interrupted by R-Truth. And God, I'm loving him as a heel. Thank you, WWE Creative, for doing that. Setting up the triple threat match that we saw later on in the evening with The Miz, Alberto Del Rio, and Rey Mysterio. I know we addressed this before in the previous 50, but I like to rehash stuff. Either one of you fans of the way that they've been opening these shows recently with the old WCW thing of, all right, there's the cold opening. They pub whatever city they're in. And oh, by the way, there's someone in the ring wanting to talk and talking a lot.
I wasn't a fan. I'm sorry, but those type of opens just bore me to tears after a while. Especially when you involve 3 or 4 extra people.
No, it's just weird. We had that on Impact, and we'll talk Impact later on in the evening, but last week we had 17 minutes of Karen Jarrett and Jeff Jarrett interrogating all the
podcasts. We don't need to talk about TNA. It makes Spud cry.
Well, it's bugs in pain as it is. I figure if he cringes and groans, it may help him pass what he's got going on there.
It didn't help on Sunday.
Baby Batista, as he is known to the fans of the FCW tapings, made TV again this week, with Kane as his opponent, and, it turned into a Nexus 2.0 brawl, with Big Show involved again.
Did he fall into a vat of brown paint? Cause he looked very, very, very brown this week.
Mason Ryan?
Yeah.
I think he may be dipping into the Dolph Ziggler spray-on area. I don't know.
No, he was actually brown. He wasn't orange.
Sure,
this
was
like he rolled himself around in dirt or rubbed off on R-Truth.
You sure it wasn't your video connection or anything that did it to you?
No, my stuff actually works, unlike yours.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that. Which I'm not understanding. Brand new freaking headset, and I'm sounding like I'm in the Jersey Tunnel calling into you guys. Being that it's almost a year since the Nexus arrived on the scene, before we go forward with the Monday Night Raw stuff, are you surprised a year later that this faction, be it this is version 2, none of the originals are here, but are we surprised that Nexus still exists to this day? Did we think this, I mean, we contemplated it on here before. And the fans did too. They've sent emails to radio@allnightworldofwrestling.com asking us, so, you guys want to ballpark these guys being here 6 months, a year? And I kept saying to people, they're not going to be here a year. Are you kidding me? A year later, the damn Nexus is still here.
Yeah, but the Nexus is not the main event, like, main focus of the show that they were a year ago.
But they weren't outed that's like the Spirit difference. Squad was back in the day.
Well, that's because Triple H hasn't got his hands on them yet. But they're there, but they're not really the impact that they were when they first came in. So you could say that they're not really existing, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean,
at least the core on SmackDown still poses some sort of a threat. Mm-hmm. You know, the Nexus on Raw just doesn't pose any threat at all.
Unless you're Mason Ryan. I mean, the guys took out Kane, Ezekiel Jackson did stuff over there with Big Show. And these two big dudes are just dominating the scene. And I said the fans of FCW here, my friends Jason and Catherine, who are possibly listening tonight, Catherine was the one that clued me into the whole Baby Batista thing. And then I saw a match with him before he joined the WWE main roster. And I was like, oh my God, he's stiffer than RoboCop. And that's, there's movie
RoboCop, he was good.
Yeah, there's your movie reference by the t-shirt at Cafe, is it WordPress.com? Cafe WordPress?
No, it's cbradio.ewazone.com.
Thank you. Buy the shirt, buy the pins, buy the DVD. Bye, bye, bye.
Yes, buy our stuff. Make us some money.
Yeah.
We're poor, goddammit.
Yeah, and but are they putting this guy over too fast, or as this killer, the machine that he may be? In your mind, is this okay that he's being put over, that he's knocking Kane down, he's knocked this guy down? I mean, fortunately, thank God, unlike Gene Snitsky or some of these other people, he hasn't knocked somebody's face into a million jigsaw pieces.
Wait, the WWE pushing somebody too quickly? No, they'd never do that.
Of course not.
Of course they're doing it.
None of them, they don't. They listen to the show. Hi, Stanford, we love you. I really enjoy
it. Send me my check, Vince.
Damn right. Yeah, and as we mentioned, the spray-on tan Dolph Ziggler, the former Nick Nemeth, defeated Santino Marella. The hair still really weirds me out. I still want to see him and Cody Rhodes as a tag team. Just because it's like, hey, it's you. No, it's me. It's Jesus Christ, they look alike. Holy God. Are we fine with this Vicky Guerrero now just being his business partner and dying down the romance thing?
It gets him over, I suppose. But then I don't know how dyeing your hair a different color makes you new and improved.
That's his natural hair color. The blonde was the dye-in.
Well, I didn't know that, Alan. I don't name drop as much as you do.
I'm not name dropping. I'm looking at the dude on TV. You can see the big, long... Watch the guy on the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives show on Food Network. They look the same with the blonde hair and the dark roots. I'm not a cosmetology student, but I'm looking at it going like, oh, yeah, nice dye job. Yeah, are your spasms gone, Sir Spug, or do you need to take a timeout?
No, they went away, thankfully.
All right. Cool. Jersey Girl in her chat room saying, can Karma please kill Vicky? I will pay her extra. I'm sure you can find her on Twitter if her account's still even active.
She uses at Karma now.
Oh, the that's awesome what
Kong
we switched
one has
to?
Been, yeah, the Awesome Kong one now has pretty much been, like, bookmarked by the WWE. So they've switched it around, but I think WWE has control over the Awesome Kong one, so people don't steal it from her.
Yeah, but since she's never going to talk on TV, it's always amazing the characters that don't talk on TV can type and type away.
Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. We had... The backstage promos have been something over the last few years, the candid camera-like situation, being the fly on the wall. They become way, way prevalent in the current writing of TV, and I'm sure Dave Logano, if he's listening, would chime in if we ever have him back on the show, and the way these are done, these backstage vignettes. We had one with The Miz and Alex Riley about costing him the championship a week before, and he goes to the ring, calls out our friend Marky Mark, and of course loses to Marky Mark. Do these kind of segments, I understand it's, we're stuck with them, there's no way to get rid of them, but can they be used in a better way than this? Cause this was just, it almost looked like they were looking at cue cards off screen. Go, oh, I'm sorry, Miz. I'm really sorry. It almost felt like the All My Children and One Life to Live writers who are losing their jobs soon just jumped ship and ready or on Raw.
Wouldn't that mean that Dave Logano would have a job back?
I never know. I'd love to see him back on TV. That's always a good place for him. We'll take their jobs. You can go, I think it's teamworkonline.com. You can actually apply for a job to be a writer's assistant or an actual staff writer for WWE. And it's amazing to look at the stuff that they want you to do, that they're looking for people with bachelors in communications or creative writing. I didn't think there was a bachelor's in creative writing. I guess there is. Tells you how much I've been paying attention. But I mean, this promo just, to me, it seemed out of place. It's like, okay, and you're actually following Riley all the way through the backstage area, almost through Gorilla? I was like, to have him be the sacrificial lamb to Marky Mark again?
I honestly don't remember that. The only backstage thing I remember for some god unknown reason is... Zack Ryder teaching John Cena how to fist pump.
That was awesome. Sucks that he's only getting that amount of TV. We love you, Zack Ryder.
Oh, look, if part of Superstars didn't get taped before Raw, Zack Ryder wouldn't have a job.
He may not. You know, the cuts may be coming soon enough, which stinks ridiculously. Almost around this time last year, maybe a few weeks ahead of where we are right now in the timeline, but, Brian Danielson, the current Daniel Bryan, lost his job over a tie, as some people say. And who knew last night on Monday Night Raw, Mason Spug, that a tie would get involved once again in professional, oh, can't call it wrestling, sorry, professional entertainment. Michael Cole once again calls out Lawler, yawn. Lawler says, I want a match. Give me a match. Oh, nah, I don't want it. Lawler even volunteers to put up his Hall of Fame ring. Yes, fans, it sounds real familiar. If it doesn't sound familiar, see TNA a little while ago.
So he's like, yes, put my thing up. Sure, no, whatever. We get Kofi Kingston afterward defeating Jack Swagger. Swagger came out attacking Lawler. Before we get, I'll go forward with the tie stuff. Kingston wins because Jack Swagger gets distracted by Lawler. And then Lawler gets him in the coal mine. Is that what that stupid box of stupidity is called?
Yes, it's called the coal mine.
Coal mine. Oh, God. Yeah, so he gets him in the coal mine there, and we're looking right now at a wonderful photo of Michael Cole getting squished into that thing, which that's great camera work by WWE. If you could share that with the folks in the chat room that are listening, if they want to peruse that picture. It sucked. Basically, because it's just like, hey, Kofi Kingston's here. All right, thanks, Kofi. You basically use the U.S. Heavyweight Champion to further someone else's match. Maybe it shouldn't bother me, but it does. It does big time. Disrespect the belt that Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes, Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, come off your high horse. Come off your high horse, because for the last 10 years, WWE hasn't given a shit about a championship belt. So don't even sit there and talk about disrespecting a belt. It's a prop.
And the back spasms have lost. He's back. Awesome. Okay, well, let me bring this up to both of you then. A year ago, almost around this time, maybe a few weeks forward, Daniel Bryan's let go. Many say it was because of the pressure, because first off, he had apparently talked crap over John Cena during that segment where they choked him out. Then there was the choking out of Justin Roberts with the tie. Many people say he lost the gig for that one as in the PG era. Either bother either one of you the way that they did this? The Cole gets his face crammed into the coal mine with the tie? The little irony thrown on the people there?
I don't think it matters, personally. You gonna fire Jerry Lawler?
But I just found it very comical. It's like, okay, he's Hall of Fame guy, he can get away with the tie. Guy that's been on the indies for a decade, no tie for you, sir. But you can sign him at fan shows and make money off of it. And I guess we're gonna see Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole one more time.
Hopefully for the blow off of the damn feud.
Yeah, and let me make sure I got this right. Lawler's putting up his Hall of Fame ring, and he will induct Michael Cole into the WWE Hall of Fame. Did we get anything out of that? I don't know if Sorokin can tell us. Is Cole putting up anything at all here? Or is it just, is everything that Lawler's got is what's going on the table? Maybe the ex-wife's on the table too?
Cole's putting nothing up. Damn. And I want to know what video, photos, whatever the hell Michael Cole has that he is using to blackmail Vince McMahon into letting him get away with the shit he is saying on TV.
I don't know, it's not Vince telling him to say all this stuff, and Lawler's fine with it. I mean, they've already got him interrupted.
If somebody was pulling a low blow like he pulled, I wouldn't care. I would have absolutely killed the little bitch.
Yeah, I don't think that Lawler, when Lawler was on, you know, Lawler kind of.
He sidestepped the question just like he sidestepped every other question.
21-year-old, one, us, nothing.
He was sidestepping, but here's the thing. I know it bothered him. You can just tell by the look on his face that when Michael Cole had mentioned his mom beforehand, that it bothered him. And you could tell last night that it bothered him. And I'm with Mace. There are still areas, even in wrestling, that are unapproachable for a promo or even getting a storyline over. The dude's mom just passed away in February, and it was Mother's Day Sunday. Not something you need to be rubbing in.
So then that's on Giewertz and Koski and whoever's got the pen, and Stephanie Levesque is putting that out there too. But I mean, he's...
No, that's on Michael Cole for not having the couth and the respect for Jerry Lawler to go, you know what? Perhaps I shouldn't say that.
No, but isn't also on Mr. Lawler? I mean, the guy's got 30-some-odd years in the business, almost time however many he's got. Can't he say to either one of them, no, nah, I don't want to go near the mother thing. Can we get rid of that, please?
Jerry Lawler has always been the type of individual who will do what's necessary for the storyline of the match to get over. So I don't expect Jerry to say something. I mean, I wouldn't. That's just not how he is. If you listen to any of his other interviews or watching it, that's just not how he is. So the onus is on Michael Cole at that point and on the writers.
Hey, look at that. It's a WTR tie. That's pretty cool. Thanks, Sir Rockin. I mean, I was just, a lot of us were sitting there, I'm sure, groaning when it was like, he invoked the mother. Aw, crap. Just weird. As I said, we're going to have another one of these matches and pay-per-view. Can we over under this one that hopefully this is 3 minutes and we're done? I mean, if we haven't learned anything from two matches with these guys, enough's enough, pretty please? And we gotta get on our knees and beg, please stop this?
I think Michael Cole already gave us a preview of who's gonna end up going over, to be quite honest with you. Listen to his promo last night. He was going to retire, the only undefeated superstar in WWE history. You know Vince isn't going to let that happen.
I hope it happens, but as I said, we're going to be stuck watching it in a couple of weeks. This show ended with Triple Threat Rules, and it was The Miz taking on Alberto Del Rio, taking on Rey Mysterio. And once again, really good pay-per-view caliber match out of these three. Were we either one of you surprised how Miz worked with Del Rio? Because we've seen, obviously, he worked with Rey, but it's definite difference in style with Miz. Were either one of you surprised at how good this match turned out, or did both of you, or either one of you, think it was a total crap fest?
I fell asleep.
Ah.
I don't remember much.
Okay, I'll say I liked the match. Didn't like that the Miz won, but hey, A-Rai helps him out. So once again, we get Marky Mark versus the Miz. In an I Quit.
What is your hatred of John Cena?
I don't. The dude just looks like Mark Wahlberg, so I always call him
Mark. He looks nothing like Mark Wahlberg.
When you meet him in person, he does. When he has the right hairdo, he does. I just get yelled at for making fun of Hogan, so it's just something that I've stuck with. Me, personally, I never had a problem with seeing him. Except met the dude, he was cool, took photo op, gave me 5-second pose. It's just, you know, how many times can you climb the mountain, save the girl off the railroad track, solve world hunger?
Superman still does it, buddy.
Yeah. The show's ended with R-Truth attacking Rey Mysterio.
Because John Morrison's hurt.
But are we fine with a match possibly with this over the limit pay per view of R-Truth versus Ray Ray? Is this a big clash in styles, or do we think this could actually be a good match?
I would assume it would be a good match.
So far, I'm of the opinion that they're living up to the excitement of their commercial.
I think R-Truth, though, needs to get a midget manager and call him Little Ronnie.
Oh, God.
Yes. Hornswoggle, new gimmick.
Yeah, there were some folks on the boards and some of the websites that said that this was a very racial-toned episode. Did either one of you see that? I really didn't see it. Or maybe
hear it. Certain R-Truth, but then again, I've seen it through his entire heel turn so far.
Yeah,
the
R-Truth
black man
is really...
be singing and a-dancing. Fucking retard.
Yeah, he's really kind of taken on this, like, militant black man role.
Well, he was kind of there in TNA back in his original world title reign. And I know I'm asking people to remember back to 2002 in the wrestling business. That's decades, but it's not like they can magically turn him into a white guy. The way we did that with Chavo Guerrero, I digress. So as it stands right now, your pay-per-view is an I Quit match. WWE Champion John Cena versus The Miz. Your world champion, Randy Orton, as we'll find out on Friday Night SmackDown, will take on Christian. Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole 3. Doesn't have the same ring as Edgar. Is it Edgar Penn 3 that we're supposed to see? But
Edgar
now
Maynard.
I'm Edgar Maynard, okay. That we may not even see due to injury, which we'll touch on in a moment.
Wait, what? And
I thought that was somebody tweeted that it's one of those participants was injured. I'm not 100% sure. It was really fast that I saw it. That someone was injured at for UFC 130 that wasn't going to be able to partake. I may have read it too fast. I don't know if Sirach, and being the Twitter god that he is, can look that up for us. Rumored R-Truth versus Rey Mysterio. Rumored Nexus again versus Big Show and Kane, maybe with the next the core involved as well.
No, at this point in time, I will reveal also from the SmackDown tapings.
Oh,
I see title match between Wade Barrett and Ezekiel Jackson.
Yep, there it is. Frankie Edgar scheduled title defense of the UFC Light Heavyweight Championship versus Gray Maynard at UFC 130 will not take place as advertised? When is UFC 130? Is that May 28th?
May 28th.
At the MGM Grand will not take place. Mike Chiappetta, unfortunate last name, of MMAfighting.com broke the news on Monday that the fight was postponed due to injuries. On both fighters, report states that Edgar has 2 broken ribs and Maynard suffered a knee injury while training, so a date of their rematch is yet to be announced. So see, we do talk MMA here, and we may talk it in a couple weeks, but I can't reveal much more on that, because it's not 100% locked. So I apologize. So we're getting Wade Barrett versus Ezekiel?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Interesting. And is this possibly for...
We're now losing out on a great main event for UFC 130.
That was the main event for that event? Event, sorry.
It was.
Oh, crap.
It was the main event.
So... Sorokin, before we've got a couple minutes left in the segment here. Have you seen, if you can type it in there, do you have the, you're the tap outs to knockouts, Cats. What was the rest of this card? Is there anything else on this card that can be moved up to a main event status?
Thiago Alves got moved.
Okay, who was his scheduled opponent?
Rick Story.
But it looks like the, semi-main Quinton Rampage / Baby Eater Jackson versus Matt Hamill will be the new main event.
And then your co-main is Frank Mir versus Roy Nelson.
Okay.
It's a bit of a downer.
And Jersey Girls.
As much as we like the Baby Eater. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll finally get to see him compete. I've never seen him compete. All I've heard about is you guys calling him that and saw him in the AT movie. So I've never seen Rampage compete. So it'd definitely be interesting.
Get racial in the comments.
I'm sure. Let me jump back to WWE real quick. Jersey Girl said, you mentioned the R-Truth needing a manager, so maybe they can get the little midget Booker T to play basketball 2 weeks ago on Tough Enough for his manager. There you go. And he could be little Ronnie, is that what we want? We can bring up Christina Crawford from Tough Enough, let her be his... I can't say that word. Yeah, I can't let her be his bitch. Yeah, be the hoe. Oh wait, that's Godfather, we can't go there, cause that's a classic. So, that is your WWE events as we see it.
Okay, hold on.
I'll hold.
We were talking about MMA for a minute, so I ran over to MMAJunkie.com, I get a lot of my news and stuff from, and I see this article about Roy Nelson, who expects a title shot if he beats Frank Mir. And in this article, Roy Big Country Nelson refers to himself as the Rosa Parks of MMA.
Wait, what?
Yeah. And I don't like Frank Mir. I want to see Frank Mir pound this guy's face in now.
Refer to her? Wow.
Give him a head tumor.
Wow.
What was it that happened at the last event?
Oh, the hematoma that guy got?
That's the one. Give him that about four times the size.
That's just horrible.
Anyway, let's go to break.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with doing that. We'll be coming up after this break. It'll be one of our last segments. We will, we got a pay-per-view this Sunday, so I got to pimp some pay-per-view, and we'll talk TNA Sacrifice, and we'll also get into, TNA Impact here on Van Hagar Night, on I Will of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Stay with us, and thanks for staying up with us, no matter where you are in the globe.
Bischoff.
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet writers today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Janice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wonderman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
I am blind!
my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little mortal warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the Warrior commands you to do it. Now the Warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Damn, I love that song. That's Love Walks In from Van Hagar, or Van Halen. And one of those songs that when Van Halen toured last with David Lee Roth and Wolfie, as he's known to his friends and family, the son of Valerie Bertinelli and Eddie Van Halen, joined the group to replace Michael Anthony, who I believe is a part of Chicken Foot, I think is the side project that he's in with Sammy Hagar. And I was like, all right, David Lee Roth's back. Crap, none of the Van Hagar stuff's going to get played. Oh, well. Wild Talk Radio Network is bringing you this show each and every week. Go to wildtalkradio.com. You can see the schedule of events, which we'll announce at the end of this show. Don't forget, we podcast on iTunes. We podcast through Click Wrestle On Demand. I believe that Audio Wrestling folks get us somehow or another. Spug and Mace are still joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, celebrating live 50 shows as hosts, their 50 shows as co-hosts. Once again, wish Kevin Scott could be here. We're hoping after the sacrifice pay-per-view this Sunday, Mr. Jamal is able to grace us with his presence. And as much as it pains Spug and his kidney stones, we must go forth and mention the fun that was TNA Impact, and I need to start it by saying the recently departed from TNA Jay Lethal got more name dropping than he did in the last few months. He was under the contract of TNA Wrestling, and that just is like, what the crap, dude? The show opened with another Big Shock Immortal Fortune face-off with a brawl. Robert Roode addresses Hulk Hogan and said, mentioned Jay Lethal, and again teased the idea that next week everything will change. And don't worry, we're going to talk about that in the remaining few moments. We had the Jarretts confronting Velvet Sky yet again. The portion of the show that I believe put Mace to sleep was Cold Blood Matt Hardy, or Cold Blooded, or Lukewarm. I don't know what he's called.
That'd be the part where I fell asleep, yes.
Yeah, so he is teasing the arrival of a new tag team partner, which we kind of already revealed here, because he's a friend of the show, and I'm damn happy that he's back. So we'll address that when we get to the Sacrifice preview. We had a debut of a new performer. Haha, notice I used sarcasm there. And let me make sure I read this right so I get this name right. I believe it was called Sangriento. No, not Sangria. He's called Sangriento, defeated Suicide. And as Sorokin watched the show, we watched in separate locations. Obviously, Sorokin is based in the Northeast. I'm down here in the Tampa Bay area. Sorokin's going, who does that guy not look like to you? And I was like, you sure don't look like Amazing Red. No way. Yeah, kids, that's who's under the mask. Aren't you happy there?
No, no, they're not.
I mean, convince Vinnie Rue and the rest of them down there get any more rip-off-ish?
Well, it seems that, you know, TNA rips off WWE. WWE rips off TNA. They're ripping off each other, and it's not creating good television either side, so meh. Now available at cbradio.ewazone.com.
Get the shirt. Is the blank knuckle shirt going to be available too?
Working on it. We do have a sense mother beep. Do you make it t-shirt available there now?
Yes, definitely got to check that out. If you haven't seen the shirt yet, you will don't have a beer or a soda or anything in your hand, because you will spit it out all over the place when you see it there. Amazingly enough, and it was addressed on, I think it was on the TNA Wrestling website, Jesse Neal, former Navy member who was a shipmate on the USS Cole during the unfortunate attack by Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, addressed everything that happened. It was not addressed on this program. However, we had plenty of time to have a Cinco de Mayo party with Mexican America. If you look back over it, the way LAX was used with Hernandez, Homicide, and Conan, is Homicide sitting somewhere cringing going, damn, could you stereotype us anymore? I mean, obviously, Homicide is not Mexican, as we found out, thanks to Willie Urbina found out the hard way. You're not Mexican, you can't be with us here, but can we start sending checks to the Guerreros and everybody for ripping off the Latino World Order and everything else here? And we talked briefly about how WWE had hints of racial tonage last night with our Truths thing, but this is just getting a little ridiculous here. I get that.
I'm just waiting for Hector to join them.
Yeah, I mean,
let's just rehash the storyline all over again and have Hector become their manager. And, you know, if I remember correctly, isn't one of the girls actually Canadian?
Yeah, that would be Sarah Stock, who plays Sarita.
Yeah, there you go. There's a quick little exit storyline.
Yeah, which is completely hysterical to hear all of a sudden. It's like, did you swallow a Berlitz book and I missed it backstage? I mean, it just bothers me a little bit. And someone brought it up, I believe, in an email to us at the inbox, RadioOnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, and said, everybody, if you're foreign in WWE or TNA, you're a bad guy. Heaven forbid Mexican America be good guys and be wholesome and everything.
Yes, instead of making them into a positive ideal of the Mexican culture, no, let's have them, you know, spout off at the mouth and be assholes. God forbid that any race besides white people gets portrayed in a positive light in wrestling.
It's just weird, and
that racist?
Everybody's a little bit racist sometimes. Available on the Avenue Q soundtrack. We had an interesting situation: AJ Styles taking on Christopher Daniels and Bully Ray. AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels taking on Bully Ray and TNA TV Champion Gunner, who needs to stop biting the belt, dude. There's pills for that. All this was used to set up Tommy Dreamer's return, where he, attacks AJ Styles. Okay? Can you come more out of left field with this than anything else? I mean, I'm sure you're going to lead somewhere with this, Mace, but awkward? Awkward, at least on my end. I'm just like, okay, I'm Tommy Dreamer. I'm going to the ring and I'm going to attack that guy.
Yeah, I remember I was asleep at this point, Alan.
Yeah, it just was very weird. If things weren't weird enough, we were subjected once again to the Jarretts having a in-ring confrontation this time with Velvet Sky, which of course set up a match later on in the evening with Kurt Angle and Velvet Sky taking on Jeff Jarrett, Winter, and Angelina Love as your main event, which is once again interesting. Eric Bischoff spent more time trying to find the coffee kiosk than anything else this evening. And on his way to it, he set up Rob Terry taking on Murphy, where the winner got to, stay an immortal. Like, that's a cool thing, I guess. Buy the t-shirt at TNAWrestling.com. So, Rob Terry in, Murphy out. If you weren't going to channel the Triple H moniker, Crimson is now sort of doing it, carrying around a sledgehammer where he goes for some reason, looking for Samoa Joe, eventually found Joe, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for coming. The biggest shock of all is that your Knockouts champion, Mickey James, made a title defense against Miss Tessmacher, formerly known as Brooke Adams, who was last seen as Eric Bischoff's secretary. And if you want to go way back in the TNA time machine, she was told by Eazy-E, go learn wrestling. And that's what happens? Okay. Madison Rain comes out. Madison Rain with, they do have good coffee. Just go to the backstage a few times. I don't know if it's as good as WCW's coffee back in the day.
It's better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if many people that can go along and say, this coffee thrown at me, it tasted wonderful. As someone who's been in the business, followed the business, this girl, other than being a dancer during the Kelly Kelly's Extreme Exposé in the ECW version 2, her ring entrance was way better than her in-ring performance, and that's sad to say. Are we just treading water with Mickie James to get her fully healed from her shoulder injury, you think? I mean, if she's not fully healed, why even put her on TV?
I would assume that that's what they're trying to do, is limp her along till she heals up completely.
So you feed her a girl that may only have 5 matches to her life?
What do you expect?
I mean, your daughter, my daughter, have more ring time possibly than this kid.
Dude,
and there's nothing against
it's TNA.
I know. Yes, as mentioned, Eric Bischoff was on the hunt for coffee this evening. And he found it, but he also found Brian Kendrick, the Buck Brothers, and Amazing Red, not looking like that Sangriento fellow we saw at all. Once again, they name drop Jay Lethal. Damn, that guy's everywhere.
They're stealing your gimmick, Alan. Name dropping everywhere.
I know. They can buy the t-shirt at that address that Mace said before.
cbradio.ewsound.com.
Thank you. But he basically called them the Vanilla Midgets, which, unless you're an aficionado of the WCW history, Spug, you're going like, okay, let's mock my X Division guys about their lack of height when for a while there the X Division was carrying this damn promotion. And I know I'm shaking heads, I know I'm making your kidney stone angry again, but this just kind of pisses me off because I was always a big fan of the X Division, and we already had Kevin Nash try to bury them over the a few years ago when he wrestled Chris Sabin on pay-per-view. I think it was possibly a setup that the Dudleys were going to do it at one point. Sorry, Team 3D. Don't send me anything, Dre McDivitt. They're Team 3D. But before I address the main event, I can say this, that we did reach out to Jay Lethal's people, and Jay respectively declined our interview request. I believe he's declined every interview request that's been out there. But name dropping like this, is he coming back at Sacrifice, Buck?
Possibly. I would hope so.
I can tell you right now, Hogan walked into a creative meeting and found out that Jay Lethal was gone, and he was like, what? He was surprised too.
That was the rumor around the campfire through sources that I still can't name, because, well, I'd get big-time trouble that when Jay Lethal was told, when Terry Taylor made the decision, that Russo, Bischoff, and Hogan were not consulted in the decision whatsoever. So, read into that what you want. Let me pass this to both you and Mace. If you're Lethal, do you accept an apology from them and go, we made a mistake, please come back, and this is how we're going to rectify it, we're going to get you involved in whatever storyline, because this story's going around that he pitched four or five different ideas at creative recently and before the lockdown pay-per-view. But as a fan, and if you're Lethal, do you accept this, or do you still look and go, hi WWE, I'm over here, see me? Don't answer all at once.
I think it depends.
It depends on what they pitch him in the storyline and financial, or what would be here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
does the apology come with a pay raise?
Yeah. Well, he was under a guaranteed deal. He wasn't like some of these cats were, that they were, you show up, we use you, you get paid. You show up, we don't use you, here's a fudge bar. So he was on a deal where even if he wasn't used at house shows, he was getting money. Hence why I saw him several times at ASW Florida at Storker's Billiards. Say, hey, you're Jay Lethal. Aren't you supposed to be somewhere? Yeah. Creative got anything for you? No. All right. Enjoy the show. And let's just play guest booker here, not with Sean Oliver, which you can get at kayfabecommentaries.com. Yes, a product drop. Deal with it. Would you like to see him involved in this Immortal Fortune thing? I mean, granted, obviously, Nature Boy Ric Flair injured, not going to be on TV for the longest while, but could you mix him into, if they're going to keep Immortal Fortune going, do you mix him into this? Could you even see a heel Jay Lethal?
Do we really need to mix more people into this? It's starting to become NWO-like to the point of oversaturation.
Okay, well, if you look at the current TNA situation that is right now, and we'll address the pay-per-view in a moment. If you bring them back, you can obviously plug them right back into the X Division, current champion Frankie, the future Kazarian. Do you team them up with someone, let them have a tag run? If you go with the guidelines that you saw the NWA back in the day, and I know this isn't the NWA of back in the day, Jay Lethal physically could fit into the Jack Briscoe type mold. He's kind of like a Shawn Michaels stature. Could you see him making a run at Sting in 4-6 months if it's done creatively wise, or whoever they put the belt on?
How do you, Spug, and you, Mace, creative director, TNA Wrestling, use Jay Lethal? Other than impersonating Randy Savage and Ric Flair.
Dude, you're way, I can't answer that. I can't, cause I could care less about TNA, so I will let Mace answer.
Okay.
Damn you, Spug, you stole my answer. I sort of have no real idea of how, because I'm barely paying attention to TNA as it is. I download the episodes, I start to watch them, I fall asleep, I wake up to my TV displaying my awesome Marvel vs. Capcom 3 wallpaper.
So TNA Impact is a cure for insomnia. Awesome! It is being teased. Do I want to talk about it, the network representative will be arriving this Thursday on Spike TV. No, it's not Don Callis. Damn. No, it's not.
Bang, bang.
It was Don Callis. Damn. Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, the hell with it. I'm spoiler free normally, but this one just kind of makes your head scratch too. If you want to be surprised for a minute, earmuffs. You got a count of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cool. Okay, Mick Foley is your new network representative. And we're changing the TV name, not the promotion's name. Everybody that freaked out on OWW Genesis and like, oh my god, they're changing the name of the promotion to Impact Wrestling. That's what the show's gonna be called. Instead of TNA Wrestling Impact, or Impact, I don't even remember because they never have the graphic up there long enough for anybody to go with. I know neither one of you give a crap about this promotion, but give a crap for 60 seconds. Are you fine with Mick Foley coming back in? I mean, obviously they just made a DVD about him, Mick Foley Hardcore Legend, available at TNAWrestling.com. Could you have picked some, if you had the pen, care for 60 seconds, either one of, to both of you. Is he a good choice for this? I mean, he did it in WWE. He was the commissioner for a long while.
Yes, because he draws and he can talk. There's my answer.
Okay. Agree, disagree on that one?
Agreed. Duke can talk, Duke can draw, and, you know, let's hope that at least this time he decides to come out in a suit and actually look somewhat corporate would be nice, as opposed to, like, I know we love him in the flannel with, like, the messy hair and everything, but sorry, his name is not Chester A. Bum. So, let's at least, if he's going to represent the network, at least look like he represents the network.
Yeah, Jersey Girl's chiming in saying that it should be Dixie Carter. I don't know, man.
Supposedly there's certain lawsuits making that not happen.
Yeah, and I also think Mommy Carter finally came along and said, get your butt back in that seat, sit at ringside, enjoy the damn show, and be the president of TNA. Everyone else is talking about it, including, of all people, Perez Hilton. Yeah, the gossip guy. And Sir Rockin's providing a link. I think it's from fitperez.com of what Mick Foley will look like on this Thursday's Impact.
And you get your first look at that.
See, now that's good.
Yeah.
He looks somewhat corporate. Sure, it's Mick Foley's version of corporate, but he looks good.
Yeah, you'll also get to see the debut this Thursday of, can I call her that legally? I mean, I'm just going to call her what she is. You don't want to be surprised, you got 5 seconds. Yeah, for the first time since, well, we were trying to figure this one out earlier, my friend Michael Gorey and I were trying to figure it out, how long it's been since she's been on TV, not the surreal life. Not an adult film with Sean Waltman, but Joni Lauer is back, and if you believe what Paris Hilton is saying, Vince McMahon's apparently pissed. Okay.
I doubt that one.
Yeah, I think Paris Hilton needs to, oh, and so, is she on Celebrity Rehab Jersey?
Oh, she was on one of those shows, but
I thought she was on Surreal Life. I didn't think she was in Sober House or any of those.
She did Surreal Life. She did Surreal Life, Surreal Life again, and then Celebrity Rehab.
Okay, she was on a celebrity rehab. But yeah, that is going to be one of your matches at this Sunday's Sacrifice pay-per-view. The Jarretts, not the children, not Daddy Jarrett, who has a show on Nashville radio now. I can't remember what, I think it's on one of the sports stations. It's got a Saturday morning program. Are going to take on Kurt Angle, and I believe the live audience saw a graphic of China behind there. And apparently she's on a handshake deal with these guys, Bug. But as a casual, even if you're a casual wrestling fan, and say you're not the TNA hater you are, Joni Lauer make you interested in this product in any the slightest bit?
No, not one bit.
So this isn't even like a car wreck situation of, I haven't seen her on TV in years, let's see how she looks type thing?
Nope.
Okay. To Mace, we addressed it last week. Again, no Isis the Amazon's out there. You could have brought her in. You could have brought Serena Deeb in. You could have brought in his real-life mistress, Raka Khan. And is Karen, obviously Karen Jarrett's going to be like any other heel manager would be in a wrestling situation. She's going to tag in and run for a frickin' life at any point. But does she even grace the inside of this ring on Sunday if you're TNA creative?
She'll jump in the ring and then run like a little bitch. But I suppose the reason why they're bringing China in is to try and, well, A, draw people to the product, which isn't going to work as usual, and also somebody a lot bigger than Karen that can, like, protect her, I suppose. I don't know.
But as also as I said, it depends on when was the last time that Joni Lauer actually stepped in a ring. She's obviously got till the Sunday to burn off whatever rust she's got, and I know two wrestlers on the show here on every week, and thank goodness they're here. If you're out as long as she's has been, in your mind, is it a week of training, 2 weeks of training? Has she possibly been training for a couple months before this to get the supposed rust off? Or is it jump back on the bike, okay, bump, bump, yeah, I'm good.
I don't know.
She's been out of action for about almost 10 years at this point.
Oh, God, they shouldn't have brought her in at all if that's the case. 10 years of ring rust doesn't disappear overnight.
She was let go in November 30th, 2001, so.
Oh, God, that is a long time ago. Real quickly, I need to run the card here. This is what has been announced up till today. Your main event is your TNA World Champion Sting taking on Rob Van Dam. Matt Morgan will take on Scott Steiner. Bully Ray will take on the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. The Jarretts will take on Kurt Angle and the aforementioned Joni Lauer. Your knockouts champion Madison Rayne will, your former knockouts champion Madison Rayne will take on current champion Mickey James with, of all things, the contract to terror is on the line. No slavery involved there whatsoever. Your World X Division champion, Frankie the Future Kazarian, will take on Max Buck of the Buck Brothers. Inc. Will take on Mexican America. Abyss will take on Crimson. And your TNA World Tag Team Champions, Beer Money, will take on former WWE World Tag Team Champion, Matt Hardy. And, yeah, I'm going to ruin it. Wildcat, Chris Harris. Now, I was told by fans that were in attendance. Yeah, they recognized who the hell he was, considering Chris hasn't been involved in TNA wrestling since 07-08. Obviously, this could possibly lead to the end of Beer Money, the reuniting of America's Most Wanted. Hey, I ain't complaining, because I was a big AMW fan back in the day. This Sunday, live on pay-per-view from the TNA Impact Zone.
If you listen to this network Sunday nights, normally at 10 p.m., you'll get Spug, Mace, Sir Rockin', Will, possibly Omega, definitely, Tim Stein. You can hear them, and if I'm allowed out after curfew, my wife, we'll break down the Sacrifice pay-per-view. I know from lockdown, I believe you guys talked about it for, what, 5 seconds?
No, we actually did a half hour.
Oh, okay. It wasn't the Family Guy, go to the weather guy. How is it, Ollie? This sucked. All right, moving on.
We kind of talked about it for a half hour, kind of, but we'll break it down on Sunday.
Gotcha. OTL tomorrow night is Spug Mace and the Omega. I know last week, due to circumstances beyond our control, there was no program. Will there be one this week?
Yes, there'll be one tomorrow.
There shall be one this week.
Excellent. Definitely. I don't know, I'm going out of order with the way the network is set up, but hey, I'm working my way there, trust me. Saturday night is CB Radio, midnight-ish. Any hint of what could possibly be going on with you, Subway, and Rob Parks?
Not a clue. We don't know anything till the day of the show, and as we're doing the show, because you never knew who will drop by and host the show along with us, because we had a special guest this past Saturday night. Cindy Sin stopped by, talked a little bit with us, and co-hosted the rest of the show with us, so you never know who stops by. CB Radio, midnight-ish on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yep, and each and every Tuesday we are here. Unless the good Lord shows up one day and says, your job will no longer allow you to do the show, and I will tell the job, crap. So, want to apologize again for my venting after a wonderful interview we had. Thanks to BG James for being here with us. Thanks to Lakeisha Oliver, Berdine, and our new friend Marcus from SAW for setting that up. It is this Saturday at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds. You can find it, plenty of ways to look it up. I will say in 2 weeks, if I have my way, I'm going to blow everybody's minds with who our guests could be.
It will be a big thing if it happens.
Yeah. Next week, we're possibly going to be talking to some folks from the New England Wrestling Hall of Fame. They have an event going on next weekend. We may possibly be talking to some folks from, of all names for an event, the Todd Pettengill Invitational. Some of those folks may be stopping by as well. That's why you friend us on Facebook. You like us on Facebook. You follow me on Twitter.com/mynameiswojcik. You can follow Spug through Tapout2KO. Mace is the Mace thing. You can follow Wild Talk Radio. You can follow the official Online World of Wrestling. Twitter is OWWCOM. And as I mentioned several times, the show is downloadable on iTunes. Click Wrestle through Wild Talk Radio. So on behalf of Spug, Mace, Sir Rockin', right now takes us out. Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll see you next week.